I have it.
That boy like Madea. Let go, Madea.
Tomo by Lord. Blocked by Armstead. Two into the end zone. Caught for the touchdown! Caught for the touchdown! Waddle! Miami has taken the lead!
Dak, what the f*** I do?
It's your two favorite degenerates back again with another Day One Dolphins podcast. Once again, so happy to be back. Hosted by your boy, Ouch. Follow me on Twitter at YFinsYY. Here with me is my Day One lifelong Miami Dolphins fan, Chief Sutt, a.k.a. Coach Sutt this year. Please throw him a follow on Twitter at Chief Sutt. Follow our podcast Twitter at Day, the number one Dolphins. Stay up to date with all of our nonsense. Man. Let's get down to it. What's going on, Sut?
We're back, Ouch. It feels good to be back. We're in it.
It does.
We got what? We got preseason in a couple days. We could honestly have this up and at 'em before game day, and that'll really get the fan base fired up, you know?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, it did feel good not to have to go week to week talking about it with our little hiatus, but just so much has gone on so far. I mean, since the playoff game was the last time that we spoke, so
playoffs.
Yeah. And hopefully we. I did say we had zero chance of winning that game, and somehow we did have a chance.
You know how real it got on Saturday.
Oh man.
So this is gig number 4 in 3 days. I Ubered out because I decided early on in the day I was gonna let loose and be a bit of a problem. And I pulled up in the Tua jersey. And the other DJ that I played with, I told him to bring his Justin Herbert because he's one of, you know, three Chargers fans that actually exist in Florida. But come to find out.
Where
he's from. He's Fort Myers based, but either way. I don't know, man. I don't ask questions. But I came across a couple Bills fans that I work with. And it got
disgusting.
Very heated. And it got to the point that I put a stack on it that we finished with a better record. And this dummy goes, okay, well, you guys can finish with a better record, but you won't win the division.
That's how that works.
I was like, all right, I got tough news for you, kid. In order to do one, we must do the other. So
yeah, I don't know. See, it sounds like you're hanging out with some people that don't watch football.
And
Homeboy's
I started Fort
Myers, and he's a Chargers fan. How could you have which one of your family members is from San Diego?
You saw what Zach said in the group chat. You know, I was out there preaching the gospel. I was laying down fire. Anytime a bozo wanted to come up and talk about Tua or talk about injuries, I pointed them into your Kenny Pickett discussion. Anytime the concussion thing popped up, the fact that, you know, he never had the second one actually diagnosed, like, bro, just started chopping them up. And you just spin guys on a little cartwheel for a bit, and then they hit you with the good old fashioned, well, none of that even matters because Tua's not going to stay healthy this year, and honestly, he's going to retire. And I'm like, that's the only thing you guys can lean on, because you know we're actually terrifying. Because anyone else that actually watches ball, you know, fans of other teams and other people that are just coming up to me, they're actually saying, like, yo, it's crazy that you guys added Fangio. Your offense was already nuts. And it's like, see, thank you. Somebody's paying attention to some ball. And I'm glad
quietly. Well, if Tua can stay healthy, I'm like, yeah, okay. If Dak Prescott didn't break his leg in, you know, week 5.
If
Joe
Aaron
Burrow
Rodgers
didn't tear his
healthy.
ACL, maybe he was in the Super Bowl that year. I mean, half the league starting quarterbacks missed games last year. Tua missed 5 games. You know what I mean? Like, big picture kind of thing. If you go back to college, obviously there's a leg to stand on. No pun intended. There's a leg to stand on with the injury bug kind of thing. But it's whatever, man. This year's going to weed out who's real and who ain't. We did so much more than just adding Fangio. I actually have a list of everything that we did in the offseason that we could go over. Probably take us about 20, 30 minutes, but
Does that actually include the signing of the heralded Perry Nickerson?
It doesn't, but I did see that today. And I was like, that's the same.
I feel like I need to censor it when we say
you
it.
You should censor that. All right, Perry so I'm going to ask you to rate on a scale of 1 to 10, right? We're using a numerical value here to try and avoid with everyone getting a perfect score. I know how you are. And we're going to go 1 to 10, and you're going to go and Yeah. We're going to see where these moves end on the Sutt-Richter scale.
The Sutt-Richter scale.
All right, starting off. Tendered exclusive rights free agent DB Elijah Campbell.
Ooh, we're starting from the bottom now. We're here.
Yeah.
Elijah Campbell.
I mean, he was an exclusive rights free agent, which, you know, kind of.
That's a finesse move.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's not like spending a bunch of money or doing anything crazy. And he's like a developmental guy. I like Elijah Campbell. So, I mean, I'd give that if 10 is Tyreek Hill of last year, I'd give Elijah Campbell a 4.
Okay. All right. He's got some special teams ability in him, I'm pretty sure.
You know
sure.
what I mean? That's a depth guy. Like, yeah. He's speedy.
And they just, at this point, when our front office signs a DB, I just pull my hands up and say, hey, man, y'all know better than I do. So, because you've given me no reason to second guess you when it comes to corners, safeties. You know, they got that down. So
since Cater Kohu and his paw before him, Nick Needham, and his pappy before that.
Nick Needham, Cam Smith, Brandon Jones, Javon Holland, like anybody I didn't know who they were, and we draft them. Okay, that's it. Enough said, brother. I got you. Yeah. So, yeah, if they want Elijah Campbell, I'm with it. I'll give it a 5, 4, whatever you gave it. Next move would be releasing tight end Seathan Carter. I don't even have to say anything. If it's your first time listening to this podcast, I'll spare you my rant. If it's not your first time listening to this podcast, you already know how I feel about Mr. Carter. So what do you give that on a scale from 1 to 10, releasing our boy?
For you, I'll give it a 10.
It's definitely a 10 for me. I'm sick of his face.
Yeah, for me, it's a 5. I'm indifferent about him. I liked him for a second just because that's a really cool name, and he had a pretty cool like build. But, he's cool.
He dropped that ball, and then he got concussed, and his concussion lasted the entire year. No one told him to retire, but it's besides the point. I'll give that maybe an 8 for happiness of him being released.
Yeah.
You needed that. Yeah. That gave me some hope. No. Now I don't have to go on Twitter and complain about the team every day as if that's my personality. 25, claiming wide receiver Freddie Swain off the waivers from Denver.
I like him as a depth guy. He's probably going to be challenging some people in camp. I don't know he's going to make the team, though. But just for practice purposes.
He's a vet. Good warm body out there.
Honestly, I'd give that if Elijah Campbell was a 4, I'd give that a 4.5, even though Elijah Campbell has a better chance to make the team. I think Swain's going to just push people like Elijah Campbell and other people. He's a polished receiver. He would make a lot of other rosters if they like really
He was on
someone.
Our practice squad at some point last year.
Yeah, and I remember him from back in the day. So, like,
in Seattle?
He's clean. So, I like it, but yeah, he's not going to make the team.
All right.
What do you give it?
Yeah, I give it. It's such a non-important move, in my opinion, just specifically because of our wide receiver room and the state of it. Even the guys that aren't going to make the team, I'm happy with that we have in the room. So, I don't know, 4, 5, whatever. If he makes it, I guess it'll be better. But even if he sits on the practice squad, that's a good, like, solid vet to have on the practice squad instead of, like, an undrafted free agent that you have no idea in what they were going to do. I'd rather have Freddie Swain coming off than Preston Williams. Let's say that.
I bet Freddie Swain has good vibes. That's why he's always on a practice squad and always on a team, because he's just good in the locker room, good around the facility. You know what I mean? He's just probably cool.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, people give him work. But, yeah, Preston's a d***, and I don't know if I need to censor that. But he's just not good vibes at all.
I got to get my pen out.
It sounds like, that was 951. But Preston, you can tell he just used to get on people's nerves. And, like, he would just get lazy and, like, you know, his body language is always kind of poor. So
That too, yeah. And he's got the swimsuit his gig that he does now. He's a swimsuit model.
Anyway, we could probably.
He's on the runway.
Dude.
I'm just saying, strange veer of careers.
Let the unicorn be the unicorn. He had like 16 nicknames.
Unicorn has a different meaning when you're a runway model than it does when you're a football player, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, new nickname maybe. I don't know. Re-signing unrestricted. Oh, wait. How was he? I don't even remember this guy.
Yeah, unrestricted free agent. I feel like he played on the Packers before, but this is literally.
John Lovett, fullback. I don't even remember seeing him at any point. He was on IR last year.
Dude, that's a one. He's not going to make the team. He's probably just spelling Alec Ingold for some reps during training camp because it's hot outside.
He's getting paid to train behind our boy.
Yeah, and just in case
he's
something
getting more
happened.
Benefit out of this than anyone.
Yeah, so I don't know him like that.
Yeah, so I hope he doesn't listen to this podcast. He may not love it, but yeah, I'm giving John Lovett a one.
You didn't just say he may not love it. You're
that's
on
the second pun.
Fire the second pun. At night. We're 11 minutes in and you're cooking.
Oh, next move. I give that a one. You gave it a one. Next move, re-signing Jerron Christian, tackle. Don't remember him either.
Just based off the name, I'm going to give it a three.
Okay.
I like the name Jerron Christian.
Is it Jerron or Jaron?
I don't care. Either way, it looks cool. And I don't know. What's he going to do? Push Kendall Lamb for some PT?
It's close enough to Jared Butler. So it's like
wasn't that Jerron Christian? Butler?
Yeah, Gerard Butler. So I'm thinking like somebody that was in the movie 300 with that name. So then I kind of lean towards liking him a little bit more.
And Ivory Christian from Friday Night Lights, who was also dope.
I didn't watch that, but I'll take your word on it.
Ooh, the movie, and you didn't read the book?
I did see the book the other day. I bought this.
This man said he saw the book.
I almost bought it, but I was like. I wasn't in the. I don't like reading story stuff. I like reading like biographies and autobiographies and like.
That's basically what that is, bro. It's a real story from Odessa Permian.
Oh, okay.
And like that book is hardcore. They drop a lot of hard R's and like a lot of crazy.
What the?
Yeah. It was real in the field. And then the movie was like mildly accurate to it, but
I thought it
the
was
book
all
was really aggressive.
Like feel good movie. You know what I mean?
Nah, that's because they put they tried to do a spinoff show on some cable TV and watered it down. But no, the book is really hardcore. And the movie's one of my favorite football movies. Mike Winchell, I love all y'all. I love all y'all. Man, Booby Miles crying in the car, bro. That shit's real.
Wow. Maybe I will go back and watch it.
Yep.
All right, but, next in line would be... Wait, I don't. Yeah, I give him a three. Whatever. Whenever I have no idea what's going on, I'm just gonna match your decision.
I like that.
Next one, man, re-signing running back Myles Gaskin, inevitable, as you would say.
He is inevitable. You took the words right out of my mouth.
I have always kind of been a little higher on Gaskin than everybody else. We listen to some people talk about him and just like they just hate it, the fact that he's still around, but. How many regimes, how many locker mates, how many systems, how many
coaches,
you know, are you going to make it through? Like, he is just that guy. Maybe he doesn't have any sparkly, magical, special things about him, but when it comes to being a professional and being efficient, he's just that guy. You know what I mean? He makes it very hard for coaches to be like, you don't have a place here.
He's just a dog, bro.
It's true. Dog. Yeah, that's dog mentality.
Booby Miles Gaskin. If we need him to start a game, if we need him to go out and catch some passes, if we need him to go out and block, I mean, he's not going to do anything at like a Pro Bowl level, but he's going to do all of it and try his best. So
I did see him going golfing with... Who was it? I think it was like Lance Bass or something from NSYNC. That was like his golf partner wherever they went.
That's intriguing. And that's mad cool because some dude, when I was out the other night, like same night, a pro Dolphins fan was like hating on the backfield, and I was
AJ from the Backstreet Boys. I'm sorry.
Okay, not as cool, but still pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But dude was hating on Miles, and I'm like, bro, Miles had our back when we were broke, back before Cheetah was here, back before Jalen was here. I'm pretty sure he was here before Tua. Yeah, and that one hurts. But you know, we tried to give you a chance to block. You didn't want to do it.
Parker, Jarvis Landry, Kiko Alonso, Rashad Jones. Just a couple fan favorites that hurt me to see not reap the benefit of or reap the success we see today. Pour one out for them boys.
And Cam Wake.
Oh yeah, we can Cam Wake
especially. But honestly,
we could go all the way down the years.
Devontae just got paid. So shout outs to the big homie for straight up pulling a bank robbery and hurting their salary.
I don't get it. I don't want to slander him, but it's hard to like express your confusion with the signing without slandering him. So we'll just move on.
Yeah.
Miles Gaskin bringing him back. I give that like a 7.
I was going to give it a 6.5. So that's cool.
There you go.
Maybe I'll give it a 6 just to be farther off from you.
Yeah, I figured that was too close.
also because realistically, he's probably going to be on the practice squad unless he beats out Savon. But
you know, it's cool. You if know someone's going to get injured, and you know he's going to have his touch. You know it's going to be 2 weeks before the playoff game, the playoffs start, and we're going to need to make the playoffs. And everyone in the running back room is going to be hurt, and we're going to be like, dang, you know, can Miles Gaskin do it? And you know he's going to do just enough. That's how it's going to go down.
Yeah, bro. I'm absolutely with it, though.
All right. How are you feeling about re-signing tackle Kendall Lamb?
The highest we can go is 10, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I give it a 6.
I mean,
there's no way I can give it higher than Miles, but he could realistically start, and he wasn't terrible. In the half a seconds that he was playing, he popped up out of nowhere, like literally off the street one day. We had no clue who he was, and then he started a couple games, and it's like, oh, Kendall Lamb, he's here.
Yeah.
So I respect.
I want to not make the same mistakes that I made last year on this podcast, because we had like a swing tackle that we just signed out of nowhere like 3 or 4 different times because of the injuries we had last year. Mm-hmm. And I feel like almost every single one of them, either the first or second game that they played a great game. And then either they got injured too, or, you know, something happened, but they get you. You know, I mean, they really get you going. They make you think that they're better than they are because they had one good game, and that's what it looked like for me. I think he got injured. Yeah, he got injured in the Week 17 game versus New England. He was like the guy that we saw after the injury started happening to our offensive line, where we're like, we had that feeling. We're like, oh, you know, he actually didn't do too bad. Maybe we do have a chance at running the ball in the postseason. And then, boom, you know, the game before the playoff, he gets hurt too. So,
yeah,
I'll give it a – man, that's a tough one. I'm going to give that one a 7 as well. I'm going to give it the same as Gaskin, which makes it feel weird. I feel like I should have gave Gaskin a 6 and this a 7. But whatever, we'll keep it how it is.
No takebacks.
I think he's going to be important. I think he has a pretty strong chance to be like the backup swing tackle. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a very good chance that we see him start a couple games minimum.
Against our will, absolutely. But yeah.
Definitely. Low-key underdog fan favorite here, re-signing Duke Riley.
Big fan. Love the hair. Love the vibes. Love the girl selection. Love the name. The name is just bold. And honestly, he's gotten better every year that he's been with us. He used to kind of be a little bit of a suspect in the
little suspect
game, and a little bit suspect in the running game, but he did both kind of decent. But
started off special teams in the Flores regime.
And I'll say,
really grinding it out.
He's still good on special teams and the stuff that we ask him to do. He pops up making tackles downfield and stuff. So high effort guy. And he, again, just good vibes. So I like the Duke Riley signing. I'm going to give it higher than Miles, but still not anything crazy high. I'm getting a little bit more aggressive with my grades than the last time.
Yeah, we're ramping up here.
But I'll give Dookie a 7.5. Because you need guys like Dookie on a championship team, you know?
I'm going to give it an 8.
That's what I'm talking about.
I just really think that he deserves it. I think he's a good depth piece in that linebacker room, for sure. And I think that his progression, like skill-wise or career-wise, like is going to be a big impact for this team. You know, that basically wasn't a strong group of ours going into this season or this off season. So the jump that he makes kind of replaces our need to either draft or sign someone else. So it's kind of a big piece. And the fact that he's a homegrown one who, you know, dogged it out on special teams to get his shot is dope. And he clearly is a better linebacker for our needs than, say, Sam Aguavin, who we let go, or who I think he signed with the Bills.
Ew.
Yeah, he signed with a divisional opponent, I'm pretty sure. Smart. Maybe the Jets, I don't know. But
Fun fact, Duke's only 28, bro.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I love that. I love that for Duke. And yeah, I'm much happier with the linebacker room knowing that he's a depth piece.
Yep. And that's the sub now over a Landon. When you rotate those inside linebackers, you don't have to worry about E-Rob coming in. It would be Duke as first man up.
Mm-hmm. Which Landon might be a little bit tougher in between the tackles.
Don't make me do this.
I'm just saying, Landon gets a lot of criticism, and he played a lot of snaps for us last year, and he made a lot of plays and had a bigger role than I think he should have been allocated. Absolutely. He made a lot of calls. He was the one in charge of the defense. You know, like it was a bigger role than most teams I think would have allowed him to be in, and he did all right. He wasn't perfect, but Landon, he was a thumper, man, and it's hard to find those guys. I was just about to say Duke's not a thumper like that. I think he's a cleaner tackler, you know, and he's a little faster, and he's less of a liability in the pass defense.
Yep.
You know, and he's a little bit more disciplined with his job, but Landon plays that old school, like, he might, you know, you might be able to get that first down on Landon with a little crosser or with a tight end, you know, lining up against him, but boy, your first string running back is going to feel differently about trying to get that 2 yards when Landon thumps him back there. He's going to make him second guess it, you know what I mean? So there's benefits to both play styles, and I don't want to stand for any slander. I'm glad he's on another team and he's got a role to start over there. But
if you don't want to stand for any slander, you should move on to the next person.
Eric, I would love to slander this guy. Tight end Eric Saubert.
Yeah.
Just like, what are we doing with the tight end room here? I kind of went on a little rant before the podcast. The linebacker room being the last thing we talked about is a perfect example and comparison to this tight end room, because last year it was our biggest liability. Going into this offseason, after we got rid of a Landon, it was already weak to begin with. We get rid of a Landon. Jerome Baker, you know, has struggled a little bit here and there. But it's just a really weak room, and we fixed that up, and it was still being our weakest position last year, I think, or one of our weakest positions, not as weak as our tight end room is in this year. It is in shambles. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't remember a time that, maybe 2019, the tank year, is the only time that I can remember in recent history that there's been a position group that's been this.
Wasn't that Jordan Cameron?
Yeah, I mean.
And I understand you don't like Durham. I love Durham.
It's not that I don't like Durham. You know I like Durham. He hit the Dougie.
We don't needle it, exactly. Bro.
He hit the Dougie.
And he scores studies.
That was the first thing that you texted about. You couldn't even contain your excitement when you saw him hit that, like a robot. Whoever Mike Gesicki learned a gritty from also taught Durham how to Dougie.
Yeah, yeah, they taught each other. That's that was the problem. They were
in a big dance room with the mirrors.
Just practicing.
Yo, you see this? Yeah, it looks fire, bro.
Yo, you're going to kill that, bro. Yo, rip that. Nah, but I just love the idea of a tight end that's going to block. And when you do throw the ball to him, like on the Dougie play, like on his other touchdowns and the other times he gets it thrown to him, he's got steady hands. You don't need an all-pro at tight end, because if you do, let's say you have Travis Kelce on this team or Kittle or something like that, that's another mouth to feed that, yeah, maybe they might not say too much and they'll just, you know, block and do what's best for the team. But that's not always going to be the case, especially when it's a high-flying offense where the receivers are, you know, getting big plays. It's going to be a lot of mouths to feed. That's a lot of egos. I like having the egoless, almost nameless tight end, how we used to have the no-name defense and all that crap. But I like the chill vibes. He's going to block. He's going to do his job. He's not going to demand a bunch of money. He's going to do what he's supposed to. Now, this
he's in nine spots.
I don't know. And like we said pre-show, he's probably, out of starting tight ends, he's probably 32nd in the league. You know, no disrespect. There's plenty of guys better than him. He'd make a sensational tight end too. But, you know, that's not where we're at right now.
I think he would be a great tight end too, but to have him as your starter says a lot about the status of your tight end room. But
how about you? How about y'all worry about our six wide receivers that we're about to send at you guys every week?
Yeah, I just hope that he doesn't get injured. Like, he'll be fine. Because of how good our wide receivers are, Durham Smythe will be fine out there as our tight end one. But the day that he's not able to go out there, and whoever's up next, and it ain't going to be Eric Saubert, who we're supposed to be talking about right now. I give this signing of Eric Saubert a 2.
Yeah.
One, because I wouldn't give it a 1 because I'm not ever right about anything, but I'm giving it a 2 for how I feel.
I like the disclosure there, but yeah, I'll give it a 3 just because tight end is thin behind Durham, and if this is a guy that can, you know, understand the offense, that's a big plus, and that's something that we need. And I mean, I trust our tight end coach; he knows what he's doing. Was it Embry?
So. Oh yeah, love him. Pretty sure he's probably why the streets are saying that Eric Saubert is getting yelled at at practice and training camp right now.
Damn, streets is talking, huh?
Streets are talking.
Damn, it's not a good look. But you
know, it really ain't.
You know who they're not talking about getting yelled at and kicked out of practice?
Dan Feeney?
Durham Smythe.
Oh yeah, yeah. Durham Smythe, but he's in 8 more spots from here. We'll get there. I mean, we already did our Durham Smythe, but we'll get our numerical value for the boy.
I wasn't having it.
Yeah, well, speaking of not having it, there's a man on our team who, I think he played for the Jets, but he looks like he drives a 1989 Dodge pickup truck and only drinks Budweiser out of a can. Guard Dan Feeney with the mullet and the mustache. I know you're not a fan, but he's only a guard. So what could you really rank it? I mean, I was talking to somebody the other day. Let me ask you this. What do you think the easiest position is on the field as a starter?
The easiest?
Of all the football positions that you can do. I guess we could do offense and defense if you want to split it up. But what's the easiest? Not saying any of them are easy. In a general sense, I don't want to disrespect the game or players or athletes in any sense like that. But comparatively speaking, you know what I mean? If you had to choose one that was the easiest, what would it be?
It'd probably be guard, especially if they don't have to pull that much.
I was going to say guard for sure. Like, maybe you get with a coach who trusts you and, you know, they pull you in some zone scheme or something. But I think it's got to be guard.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't care that he plays guard. I do not like the stash. I do not like the hair. Dudes like that get really annoying mid to late season because they just get old. Like,
wow. So. I'm not going to send you a picture of my mullet and mustache right now, but you know, when you see me, you'll see me.
Yeah, no, you're different, though. You don't count. You're not one of these ones. You know what I mean? Are you bumping Morgan Wallen now?
You're one of the good ones.
Yeah, we like you, brother. Trust me.
Oh, shoot, man. Yeah, I'm going to give the Dan Feeney signing a 4 just because, like, I don't – why did we draft Michael Dieter? Who does Michael Dieter play for now? You know what I mean? Like, why did we draft – like, I don't even know who – Liam Eichenberg is supposed to be a guard somehow, right? Like, don't even get me started on him. It's a 4. What do you give Dan?
2.5.
Wow. What if he was bald with sunglasses?
4.
Okay, so
and Michael Dieter's on the Texans.
See ya, Didi. See you later, big dog. I'm glad that we groomed you and you played 2 snaps for us
He's going to take off with the Texans. They're not going to tank. They're going to come out and like try to compete for the division and win some games.
He's
going to
be an all-pro player.
Dieter's
going to
be a stud, baby. We already
know. Him and Tunsil are going to carry the Texans to the Super Bowl.
Love to see it. Tunsil deserves the world. I love him so much. Thank you for all you've done for the city of Miami.
Facts. Next signing, Jake Bailey, punter.
0. Oof.
All right, well, give it a grade that you would give it knowing that we had the option to re-sign Thomas Morstead and didn't, and then give it a grade as if we just didn't have a punter and needed to sign one.
Okay, 0 because we could have had Morstead, and if we had no punter, 4.
Really?
Because, yeah, he was raw before. But I really don't like the idea of getting a punter with back problems. I would prefer to have, like, you know, maybe some young hotshot punter that we can, like, develop and figure out like we've done a million times in the past. But,
got to be careful. They got rape accusations going around for those type of guys.
Okay. Yeah, well, I don't want the ones that the Bills draft. You know, that's the kind of culture the Bills want to get after. I mean, that's their prerogative.
Crazy in Buffalo.
That's not what we're about in South Beach. That's not what
all we're about is negative propaganda about Buffalo.
Yeah, and also pro Tua content and pro Christian Wilkins content because the world needs more of it. But
I wish
Christian
Wilkins was on this offseason move list, but he's not.
It's coming. But I really liked Morstead. He was jacked. He was old. He was bald. He was really good vibes and posted really like wholesome Instagram posts. Like,
all my criteria is for athletes that I want on my team. Jacked, old, bald, check, check, check. I like Jake Bailey signing. I don't understand letting Thomas Morstead go unless maybe, I don't know, unless maybe he was demanding a lot of money. But I don't think Jake Bailey has like a back problem. I think he was just hurt. So it's no different than any other player being hurt. You know, he tried to play through it. Like, we give these other people a benefit of the doubt. He just hurt his back somehow, so... ironic that Thomas Morstead's older and didn't hurt his back, but I think it'll be all right. There was a couple games that I'm pretty sure Thomas Morstead bailed us out of entirely last year, especially that Bills game that we won. There's no telling if we win that without him, but it's all right. Jake Bailey's no scrub, so I'll give it a 6.
Well, whatever.
Could be worse, bro. Could be someone we've never heard of that we have to just wait and see. At least we know Jake Bailey's like started for multiple NFL teams.
Yeah, I'd rather wait and see because then I'd be like, I have no expectations, you know? I just expect him to hurt his back on his first punt and then we have to, what, get through a game with no punter? Like, no thank you.
Yeah, I mean, Jake Bailey's 26.
Okay, well, I'm about to be 31, and if my back hurts, I can't punt. So I completely understand if, like...
He also hasn't played for multiple teams. He only played for the Patriots, and I'm an idiot.
No, well.
But he went to Stanford. He's got to be smart.
What's being smart have to do with punting?
Hopefully a lot, but I'm not positive.
No, I just want the Hurricanes. I forget his name. He transferred though. They had this jacked Aussie that would.
Oh,
just,
I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah, and he's tattooed and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, we can do that. We'll just
if it's not Morstead,
I'll DM him after this podcast.
What happened to the homie Matt Hack? Anyway, bro, like we just so many punters, so many ballers. But
all right,
speaking of
re-signing
ballers,
wide receiver River Craycraft,
7.
Yeah, I'm giving it. You know what? Let me look up his contract.
Yeah.
Just so I can give it the number I want to give it.
So while you're doing that, I mean, for anybody that's a previous listener, we were hollering and hooting about River Craycraft last training camp early. Yep. Very
we
early.
Said, who is this white guy moving like that?
Yep.
Then we had Pat come on the podcast, talk about how he looked in San Francisco, talk about how he was a guy. They just had bodies over there already. Like, we let y'all know about it.
We had to dig into him, and we dug into Trent, and we told y'all they were going to at least do something in the season. And River dropped a couple tuggies on him, real smooth. Like, so I'm
they had him on the practice squad.
Yeah, and he's...
They elevated him three times in the first three games and then had to bring him up to the regular roster because they were like, geez, like, this guy, he belongs up here.
This guy is Jordy Nelson. Let's just keep him on here with the speed guys because he's a problem in the red zone and we don't really have a body for the red zone, you know? Gesicki should, but for some reason he's kind of not. So
he only got a one-year deal.
Mm-hmm. Prove-it deal.
Yeah, let's see.
And make the team deal.
He was drafted to Denver in 2018, played there for 2 years, then gets signed by the Niners, bounces from the Niners to the Eagles back to the Niners. And then, yeah, so 1 year, the cap hit's less than $1,965,000.
Damn.
I'm going to give that an 8.
I like it.
Less than $1 million for that dude. Who has been nothing but reliable. I don't care what he looks like. I don't care what people think he is. I don't care if he was in the practice squad 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever. He made a difference when his number was called. That is a great depth piece, especially someone who may be content sitting on the practice squad knowing that he's going to get his shot. Like, just honestly, it's unfair, I think, to have practice squad players that are going to remain loyal to you like that, that can come in and start at an adequate level.
At the drop of a hat. And let's just all take a moment to shout out that name. River Craycraft. That's the name that Dan Feeney wishes he had.
Yeah. I have a nephew as of like a couple months ago named River now. And I call him Craycraft, even though, you know.
Shout out Junior River.
I call him Junior Craycraft. All right, next move. Outside linebacker Malik Reed signed him March 20th.
That one, I believe, was a pretty cheap deal as well, right? Like, it wasn't anything crazy expensive.
Yeah, he's a Vic Fangio guy. So I think, you know, that's always kind of a good look whenever the coach that's coming in knows somebody's going to trust, because that's how we got River Craycraft. That's how we got Trent Sherfield last year, who was a big, big contributor. That's how we got Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson. Like, a lot of these guys came over. So that's how we got half our coaching staff. So if Vic wants Malik Reed, gets Malik Reed. He's 27 years old, and his cap hit is just over $1 million.
Yeah, 1.23 milli for Malik Reed, just to be a depth guy and help everybody else get acclimated to the defense and give Vic Fangio another friendly face along with Chubb. Like, I'm absolutely with that. I'll give that the same grade as River, which was a 7. And I can completely respect an 8 on either of those, but I'm trying to give myself space for some of the other ones that I think are a little bit higher.
No, I think 7's a better, and I'm hyping it up, but I think 7's, maybe 6 or 7's a better for that. Like, it's not huge impact, but I think it's more of an impact to Vic Fangio and Malik Reed than it is for either of us. So
Don't worry. I know why you're actually giving River an 8, but it's fine.
Are you saying what I think it is? Is it because I said I had a mustache and a mullet?
It's just saying a lot, dude. It's saying a lot without saying anything, you know?
I wish River was black, dude. I really do.
I think he is.
I would have gave him an 8.5 if he was black, but
if he was black with the name River Craycraft, I'm giving that a 10.
Oh, man. All right. Re-signing cornerback Justin Bethel. I got to look him up real quick. I'm pretty sure he's black.
Yeah, he is. He's very black.
Kidding. I know. I'm just looking up his contract.
You're on fire tonight, for real. I like Bethel.
No, I love that. There was a game last year that he came in at, maybe it was the Pittsburgh game. I don't know what game it was, but he came in last year and he was like, I don't know, like our sixth DB on the depth chart or something like that. Like, wasn't even playing practice squad. Wasn't even playing special teams in the beginning, I'm pretty mm-hmm. sure. Came from New England. He was a...
He's 33, bro. He's been out here. He's played for quite a few teams in 12 years. He played for the yeah. Cards, the Falcons, the Ravens, the Pats, and then us. And yeah, that interception was versus the Steelers.
Just so not even like the interception. That. He was sticky, man. Like, he really came in and did his thing. Like, when you come off the bench like that with so many injuries, like four or five corners are out now at this point, usually it's going to be an embarrassment. Usually it's going to look how Noah Igbinoghene looked 2021 against the Jaguars. You know, like, usually it's going to be a huge gap. Or, like, remember that game against the Niners where their corners were injured and Devontae Parker and Ryan Fitzpatrick just went to town on them? Usually you get abused like that. Well, this guy, Justin Bethel, comes in who's, like, you know, just a special teams player in the NFL pretty much. And he comes in and, like, made it to where they didn't abuse him. You know, they couldn't. He made it known immediately. He had sticky coverage. And that is that's another valuable player. And for his contract, it's going to be, I think, just $1 million as well, maybe less.
Can I give it another seven? And that's, you know, three sevens, a little jackpot.
I mean, if your depth guys that you're signing like this are that valuable, man, that you can say all you want about Chris Greer, man, but
that is championship. These are under the radar.
Death. Yeah,
that's $1 million cap. Those guys that step up like late in the season and just make stuff happen because they're comfortable and they're confident, you know, and they're fresh.
I'll give it a seven.
Oh, I'm excited for your next one.
Oh, man.
That's your boy.
No, that's not my boy. He's hopefully not going to make the team. Deshaun Elliott, I don't even think he got on the plane yet. He may not have even gotten to the facility or to the state of Florida yet. And he's tweeting about bringing Lamar Jackson to the Dolphins.
That's real.
That is not real. That is the opposite of real. That is not knowing your... That is the lack of self-awareness is what that is. Look around. Read the room, brother. This isn't like... You know what I mean? He didn't know what was going on in the time. The forest fire of what picking to defend or criticize Tua that was Miami Dolphins fan base. So nah. he didn't know the climate down here yet when he decided to say some stuff like that.
He wasn't sure. He didn't really know that's what he meant. I think what he meant was that would be a really good quarterback battle. Iron sharpens iron, and you know, he would still get to hang out with his boy. And Lamar's like, Matt, cool. So like Lamar and Tua, maybe we run a little 2QB.
Man, that was a really good job at you making sure I didn't spend too much time arguing with you. You did really good. I would gladly move on. Deshaun Elliott, 3, almost a worthless signing.
Nah, that's not true. I give it a 5.5, maybe even a 6, because he's going to be on special teams. And right now, right, he's the
I'll
backup.
Give him a 4.5 because he's not white. How about that?
Well, that's even better. That's if that's the only reason you give it to him. But he's right now the backup strong safety behind Brandon Jones. So like... I don't know, yeah, man. I like that. That's a quiet move. That's not that bad, even though he needs a social media manager and someone to take his phone and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but. No, just like you're about to go play with the dude every day. This, you know, no. Like you just he just didn't think it through. Like you can say whatever you want, but you also don't like sign a contract with a team and then go start going in on your political preferences on online the day before you get there either. You know, some things you just keep to yourself for a little bit. Like,
nah, if I got traded to the Ravens tomorrow, I would tweet instantly that they need to trade for you two. And that we got to be day one Ravens. Like, it's all for one for all.
Okay, maybe I get it.
Yeah, bro, but he's a rider, dog. He's just looking out for his homie.
So he's like, confused. I'm just so confused by it.
He said, ooh, we finna win. Lamar, hey, you should slide, bro. We finna win.
Oh, my God. All right, well, whatever. Yeah. We'll see if he makes the team. Good for him. Next move was re-signing restricted free agent running back Savon Ahmed.
Ahmed. I'd give that an 8.
Yeah, another great depth player, just like we were talking about. He came in that playoff game when Raheem went down with a little bit of an injury, temporary injury where he needed to sit out a series. And, I mean, it was like red zone work, too. I think he scored. Ooh. Anytime that he's come in, it's always been very, very low snap counts with him. Mm-hmm. But anytime he's come in, he has made a difference. I think there might have been a fumble once, but we're not running a Bill Belichick regime down here where we just sit you for the rest of the year because you fumbled. He's been a difference maker, and he's fast. He fits in with the idea of this team, you know, with everyone being speedy and hard mm-hmm. to like keep track of. So I like that we kept him around, and I'm pretty sure his contract was also like less than $1 million.
Brother. So I'm looking at the Dolphins official depth chart, and it was actually updated today, about 5 hours ago. And as of right now, Savon's actually the fourth running back with your boy Devon Achane.
Wow. So Miles is looking like he's going to go to practice squad.
Miles is, yeah, the fifth. And then Chris Brooks at the sixth.
I don't know who that is.
Behind Jalen Waddle is River Craycraft and then Eazy-E.
My dog.
Yes, sir.
Savon actually gets 1.4. So even that, they value him a little bit, you know. So he, you know, he's probably like meant it to be there.
And again, we're always going to need depth at running back. We're not going to go with a Derrick Henry big ticket type of guy. It's going to be a rotation. And to have our running back room cost basically less than $5 million and get that much value out of everyone, I'm with
it. Yeah, that's what I was talking about before the podcast. I really do like the state of our running back room. I feel like cost versus talent, pound for pound, it's very, very effective and still top half of the league, I would say. And that's not a bad look when you have all your other skill positions are like the best in the league. So not a bad look at all. Savon, did I already rank it? Because I feel like it's like a 7. Did I say 7?
I said 7.5. You just said 7, so that's cool.
There we go. Oof. Here we go. Releasing cornerback Byron Jones, give it a 10.
Yeah, I'm not going to make fun of him or anything, but 17.
I'll make fun of him. Oh, bust just trying to like waste our time, spiteful, whatever the hell is going on. Just like come out on it, come out on Twitter or have your agent say something and let us know what the deal is. I don't want to hear that you're going to play next week and then next week and then next week and then next week. You sound like a toxic ex-girlfriend that told me she was going to change her ways and apologize every weekend when she gets drunk and starts arguing with me. I don't like that.
Go off, sis. Go off, sis.
Stay far away from the Dolphins, brother. Appreciate that year you spent on the other side of Xavier Howard. You're welcome for giving you one of the best career years in a system meant for you. I'm not cool with that. Devontae Parker would go on and put up an emoji with his hands up to the I don't know emoji, at least. You know what I'm saying? Or say like I tried to play, or Tua was like, I'll go play golf, let you know I'm not really injured. I don't know what it is, but I don't appreciate just not knowing for a year straight and being led on.
Yeah, it's not cute at all.
10 for the release. Thank God. I dropped to my knees in Walmart and said a prayer when I heard about it. Next move. We already touched base on this. Signing tight end Durham Smythe to an extension. All right. I don't even remember what we gave Durham.
I don't even think he makes $1 million a year.
Nah, I don't believe that.
Do you want to pull it up? Or you want me to pull it up?
I got it. 4-year, $3 million.
Thank you.
Wait, we give him a 4-year signing extension?
That's what I'm saying. So I'm going to give that one a 10 because that's an excellent signing for your starting tight end who's going to be the tight end 2 next year once you draft the best tight end available.
Okay, and it's not an excellent deal for your starting tight end because he shouldn't be the starting tight end.
He's only starting this year, and it might not even last this year. You don't know who's going to go up on the trade deadline, and we just snatch up some crazy.
I want to see how much all the other tight end 2s around the league are getting paid.
That is no money, dude. Stephen Ross spent that much money today.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, Stephen Ross doesn't have a salary cap on his bank, and we do in the NFL. So
that's a great deal.
It says it's the extension is worth 7.75. So, yeah, because there's the cap hit this year is $4 million, or no, this year the cap hit is $3 million. Next year it's $4 million. So, even though, wait, what? It's only a 2-year extension. So it's 2 years, $7 million with a $7.7 million with a $3 million signing bonus. So he gets 5.5 guaranteed up front.
Dope.
And then he gets the other whatever it is, couple million.
His base salary is 3.125 the next 2 years.
7.7 over the next 2 years. And gets $5 million guaranteed at the time, so you know,
cool.
It's more than you thought it was.
Ten.
No. I'll give it an 8.
That's my man. You go get him, Durham.
That's respectable. 8.
You go get him, Durham. You prove the haters wrong. You just
if he Dougies again. If he Dougies again this year, I'll give him a 9. But until then, you know.
He's dug in right now, dude.
Re-signing cornerback Nick Needham. Oof, man. This is tough.
Yeah, Achilles sucks, but I love Needham Island. Big Nick guy. Yeah,
hard not to root for the undrafted guys.
I gotta give that an 8.5, dude. Shout outs to Nick Needham, because whether he comes back at full strength or not, the organization did right by him and paid that man some money for being
I was just about to say.
So, like, I'm cool with that. That's a good look. 8.5. Whether he comes back at his all, you know, I'm not going to say all pro, but all really good level, that'd be sweet.
No, he was, especially out of the slot. In that dime package, he's great. Or yeah. Nickel package, I mean, he's great. But he,
right now he's behind Cater in that spot, and Trill's behind him.
And I don't think that has anything to do with his talent. I've been listening to all the camp notes from everybody, reading everything that Barry's tweeted, Kyle Crabb's podcast daily, just to keep an update on my way to work, talking about the status of camp. 3 yards per carry does an update as well. According to Alf on 3 yards per carry, Nick Needham looks very behind. I'm not going to say behind schedule, but he doesn't look like he's ready to play football yet.
Which
I get it, you know, it's an Achilles injury, and that's not one that you rush back for him after I just roasted Byron Jones for the exact same thing.
Hey, but, you know.
But as we will probably be proven, Nick Needham will not do what Byron Jones did. Alf, in his unprofessional / professional opinion, was estimating it's going to be like maybe a month into the season before we see him. But because the organization already, like you said, did right by him, paid him, I do expect to see him on the field. Undrafted guy, to see him get some money is awesome, and I'm glad that he got paid while he was injured as a sign of good faith from the Dolphins. You know, I don't get too emotionally involved with players because I know it's a business, and I know you'll just be sad constantly when you say goodbye to players like Mike Gesicki or whoever, like, you know, over the years. Jarvis Landry and all these guys that have been like the one good player.
Juice will always hurt.
Yeah, because that was a spite move out of Adam Gase. But I will say that I don't want to be a fan of a team like the New England Patriots, who cut a guy the day before the Super Bowl that played for your team the whole season, kind of thing. You know, like,
yeah.
So in that sense, it's cool. Nick Needham, appreciate that guy. I'll give it an eight. Is that what you said? You said 10.
I said 8.5. Durham's a 10. Right.
8. Perfect. Braxton Berrios. That's your boy from the University of Miami. What you got to say about him?
That's a 9.
9? Yeah, I'm going to give that a... I'm going to give that... I don't really know yet. We can't really be sure on that, but I'm going to give it like a 7 for now.
I sell you on it?
Yeah, go ahead.
So he's more than likely going to be our starting slot and really cause some problems underneath and across the middle with and around Jalen Waddle doing the same type of thing. And he's only going to cost us $3.5 million, and he's going to return punts, and he's going to return kicks, so none of our other guys have to worry about that. We're getting all that in a friendly little package that looks really cool, and it's getting coached by Wes Welker.
Yeah, what that's do you want,
fantastic. Dude? No, he's not Berrios, though.
I'm just kidding. yeah, he's only getting.
And is he white?
Yeah, the cap hit 3.5. I don't like players that used to be Jets. First off, all right, that's why I don't like Chosen Anderson that much. Plus, he's a little shit talker. So.
Yeah, good. Both of them are shit talkers. And that's
not like Chosen, brother.
Yeah, Chosen's also, in my opinion, and this is no clinical diagnosis. I am not a doctor. This is not medical
bipolar
advice. He is bipolar. Absolutely, positively. Okay. No question in my mind. Yeah. But he's raw. And he's really fast. But either way, I love Braxton.
I think that he was a 1,000-yard receiver or whatever. He'll be good. But anyway, Braxton, shifty. I remember watching him against the Jets. Didn't really watch much of him at the U.
Raw.
But on the Jets, he was a player that, you know, you were kind of holding your breath a little bit on the kick returns. You were kind of holding your breath a little bit whenever you'd see someone that fast, low to the ground, and shifty get the ball in their hands. So, like a jet sweep with him they were running, like you'd be holding your breath until you saw someone get that tackle on the ground.
He scored on us, I believe. They ran that on us, and he scored. And I was like, dang, it kind of hurts watching Brax do that to us. But
he's fast.
Those feet are so shifty. And when it comes to, like, just straight-up wide receiver play, he's a very, very fundamentally sound route runner, bro. Like, that's exactly what we need with – you want him over the top, or you want him for, like, little gadgets and bubbles and stuff?
I think they're going to do the gadgets and bubbles. Well, actually, we have Tyreek and we have Jalen Waddle. But I love the fact that we have somebody who's a genuine threat. You know what I mean? I mean, we watched Cedric Wilson take a kick return and almost score. Yeah, like, bro. You know, these guys are all good. Don't even get me started on Seti. He is being slandered and does not deserve. Every time there's a trade package where somebody wants something, they're like, screw it, send Cedric Wilson back to the Cowboys for a third. And he's better than everyone thinks he is. You got to see flashes of it. He battled through injuries the whole year and had to be sad and watch his wide receiver room go off when he was supposed to be the number three guy. Sure, yeah. We had depth guys that were able to fill the role, but that dude is no scrub, and he's going to be fun to watch if he's on the field. But as far as replacing the slot guy, Mike Gesicki, who's just a glorified slot receiver, and he was a tight end, with an actual threat like Braxton Berrios to complement the speed everywhere with Raheem Mostert, Devon Achane, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill. Now you got Braxton Berrios. It is a nightmare, bro. Nightmare. So as far as a complimentary piece, I'll definitely give it like a 9. That's going to be huge. And I'll never have to be scared when I see Jalen Waddle line up for a punt return ever again.
Or Tyreek.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think I'm going to call him Devon A-Train because he's on Compound V.
A-Train. Yeah, he does. What was that? You ever see The Boys?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's A-Train.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, exactly. Without the drugs.
Yeah, well, hopefully. You know, I'm not judging. And
well,
you know,
I mean, we already saw what happens when a fire running back comes to Miami and wants to do drugs instead of play. So,
well, remember our offensive line coach? Shout out to Coach Forrester. I mean, he was one of
he's one of the best line coaches in the league now.
Oh man, he went home.
He sobered up. Went back to his wife.
Day. He's absolutely not sober, and he's absolutely not with his wife. In that video, he was talking about a Vegas stripper.
Yeah, that was like, you know, you go through a rough patch and things happen. And then he lives straight. He hit rock bottom, so that he could bounce back. His boys took him back in at home, got him on his feet, and he's doing all right now.
And what city does he live in and work in?
San Francisco.
Nah, he was in Vegas.
Was he?
For like a half a second, I believe, under the Gruden regime.
I think he's coaching Trent Williams up there, brother.
Let me check. I was about to say, nah, coach is still off the deep end with that Vegas stripper. He went to the West Coast and everything. Y'all are crazy. He's still off that stuff, and he's still coaching his tail off like a boss.
Yeah, no, he's San Francisco. He's been San Francisco ever since he left us.
Oh, true. Well, yeah, that's still over there.
You know, and they're doing fine with him.
God, so. His video pops right up. So
far. So. He literally got promoted to McDaniel's former position.
When McDaniel's left?
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Well, eventually. He's the run game coordinator and offensive line coach, which is exactly. And he was a game planning assistant as well. So, like, you know, he knows he's been on offense for a while. I mean, the dude's been coaching football for like 40 years now.
And still in the meeting rooms.
He's 61, dude, and he was doing blow like that.
That's so awesome. I don't condone that, and if any kids are listening, don't do that. But it's just hilarious to me that he actually thought he could do that and just get away with it, and that was just chill.
That was, what, 2017? So 5 years ago, so he would have been in his mid-50s. He was having a midlife crisis, bro. Let the guy live. He probably bought a Ferrari or something.
I am letting him live. That was the most reckless thing I've ever seen, and it fired me up.
Like... And then nothing ever came of it. It just got swept under the rug. Another pun.
Three-piece.
Yeah. Exercising the fifth-year option on quarterback Tua Tagovailoa.
Ben, it's the only move.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit. Yeah, I'm going to give it a 10. And before anyone, like, how can you get that a 10? It's so risky.
Oh, you guys are Tua fans. You guys are always just on Tua.
Yeah, exactly. I think that in this scenario, situationally here with the team, it's kind of – you're stuck because you don't want to sign him to a four-year contract right now or a five-year contract right now and pay a bunch of money when you don't know if he's going to even be able to play next year given how people view his injury history. And then you don't want to not sign him at all if he ends up balling this year because then he can really hold out and – you know, he'll be a free agent. Another team can get him. He can feel salty about the way that your organization treated him. So at least he's locked down for another year. We get to see what he's going to do, and then we go from there. It was basically the only thing that you could do. It was good by the organization to play, you know, cover both ends.
Yep.
You know, give it a 10. There's not much else you could have done.
Simple.
You're not stuck if you don't want to be with him, and you're not screwed if you do.
If he shits the bed and he's just really that injury prone as everybody says he is, then we just, you know, we're not tied down to him. We can draft. We can move on. We can re-sign him for dirt cheap. But if he comes out and wins MVP and leads us to the promised land, you know, you pay that man for 5-6 years and call it a day. And we just keep it rolling till, you know, Cheetah retires and then we bump up Eazy-E into his spot, you know, keep it moving.
Yeah. Next move. Another former Jet, but I pardon him because he is an actual Dolphins fan. Nothing fires me up more than that. We have had so many problems with our backup quarterbacks over the last 7, 8, however many years. From the best backup quarterback we've had to this day in the last decade is probably Matt Moore, right?
You say that like it's a bad thing. He's just bad.
It's not.
Pat Mahomes, he's the man. And Matt Moore clutched us many a ball game. So
absolutely, that one that we were at was fire.
That was fire.
The Jets game, the three touchdown fourth quarter comeback.
Matt,
oh my God,
that place was electric.
People were videotaping me. I was going so crazy.
Yeah.
I am on people's video on their phones.
Yeah,
screaming.
That was sick.
I had the worst haircut ever I've ever had in my life that day.
Hell yeah.
But quarterback Mike White is who I'm talking about. And
Mike what?
Mike White. That's so you got to like rank him a little lower because of his last name.
Yeah. And he played at USF and was kind of mid there. So
yeah,
mid-USF,
I mean,
quarterback, mid-Jets quarterback. And you want?
He's friends of friends. Let's just say we know about him. We know of him. We know some people he hangs around. We know the girls he be hanging around. We, you know, he's in the circle and seems like a cool dude.
Yeah, he seems chill.
More importantly, literally grew up a Dolphins fan. Attended practice camps like we all do. Like, it was a fan. Wore Zach Thomas jerseys. You know,
that was Teddy.
That, to me, you could say Teddy Bridgewater is South Florida, but like, you can't tell me that dude's just like a diehard Dolphins fan. That dude's just like a guy who's from Florida, so the Florida team makes sense for him to be a fan of, kind of thing, you know? Like, I believe Lamar Jackson grew up a Dolphins fan. I don't believe Teddy Bridgewater did. I believe Mike White grew up a serious Dolphins fan, and I love that. So I'm gonna give that one a 9 just because we've struggled with backup quarterbacks for so long. This is a very cheap, very solid signing.
It's what you say in between that just speaks so much volume. But Yeah, I could kind of see what you're saying about Teddy, because, you know, the whole Saints thing, you really hold that against him. I get it. He thought he was.
Oh, he played with Devontae Parker in college. That was his wide receiver one.
That's why, that's probably not a selling point. That's probably why he didn't want to come here, and he's right. So
that dude's hamstrings are always acting up. I can't go there.
That boy trash. He always make it hurt, and he's lazy. So I'd rather play with Michael Thomas, who does the same thing for more money. But I don't know. He is a solid backup. It is cheap. He is going to be excited in the McDaniels situation. So I'll give it a 7, but I just don't care about
it. He throws it too.
I don't care about Mike Caucasian.
I want my backup quarterback not to be so conservative. Like, if you're a backup quarterback and you try to air it out and you throw a pick, God bless. That's kind of what we expected here on the worst end. Mm-hmm. But I would rather you do that than check it down to the running back and just go three and out. And he will sling it. He will throw that out there. So, you know, it could be worse. Let's say that.
I mean, sign Wentz.
Ugh. He's going to throw a pick.
He's wearing three different uniforms.
Mike White might not throw the pick. I know damn well Wentz is throwing it.
I was about to say, you want somebody to throw it up? Wentz will throw it up. No questions asked.
Wentz will get you a pick six throwing the ball from his own end zone. All right, next MVP move. Season. We got five left, all right? Re-signing running back Jeff Wilson. We definitely already talked a lot about the running back room. Me, personally, love Jeff Wilson. Think he's an absolute dog. I'm going to give that a 7 because it could be better, I think, obviously. We have some opportunities on the table for running backs, and I think his vision is a little eh. He lacks vision, but for as much as he lacks vision, he just has heart. He breaks tackles, and he is a dog. So he kind of makes up for it in that sense.
I'm going to give that one a solid 8. Because it's only 2 years, $6 million. Only 1.8 of it is fully guaranteed per year. And most of it is per game bonuses and workout bonuses and other nonsense. So, like, he needs to play in order to get paid, aka he's incentivized to stay healthy. And the only knock on him is health. So, I think keeping the running back room this cheap when you're seeing franchise tags are what, like $15 million a season for one guy. We're at, again, between him, Savon's like one something, A-Train's probably one something, maybe two. Like, we're spending less than $7 million on four guys. Like, that's awesome. Guys that are going to produce. Five guys. So, I'm with that. I like the build. I like the vibes. And I really like Hefe. He's crazy. He's about that life. He may also be bipolar. He's a dog. I love him.
He's violent. He has violence in his mind when he goes to play the game. And
when he's running that tater.
Those guys are rare, so.
Yeah.
One of my, I guess two, the next two are some of my favorite moves that we've made. Re-signing Andrew Van Ginkle. I remember him going to visit the Patriots, and I was sick to my stomach. You know they want a long white guy with blonde hair hanging out of the helmet at linebacker. That's just like their thing.
Mm-hmm. And he would have dropped 5.5, maybe 6 sacks a game against us just because.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm going to give that a 9. Man, I mean, he's just done everything you've asked him to do, and he's gotten better every year. There really is no reason that you would let this guy walk away unless you were just taking him for granted, in my opinion. Fan favorite, the name Van Ginkle. You hear Good Morning Football, bought his jersey. Like he's just that guy, and now he's another good contributing depth piece to our now revamped locker room, or linebacker room.
I mean both.
I'm gonna give it an 8. Actually,
you gave it a 9 at first. I'm gonna give it an eight. I'm gonna go with an 8.5 as well. The same thing I gave Hefe. Because of the special teams big plays.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, like you said, he's done everything you've ever asked, including block punts and, like, return stuff. Like, bro, yeah. He's crazy. He's returned fumbles. He scores touchdowns. Like,
yeah,
bro,
yeah.
He's sensational. And seeing him leave would have broke my little heart, like legitimately. Because, like you said, he would have went straight to New England. Belichick would have made him wear like 56 or something, and just, I would have been sad. So,
well, the reason that I changed it from an 8 to a 9 is because this next signing, signing undrafted or unrestricted free agent linebacker David Long Jr. from the, where did he come from? The Titans, right? He is a linebacker that we've been looking for years, kind of, and the deal that we got him on is insane. It's almost like he wanted out of there so bad or just saw the vision in Miami that he was just willing to take less money. But talk about a guy who's going to be able to cover and thump. Like, this is, if he, his problem is the Devontae Parker thing. He's got soft tissue injuries that have always kind of kept him out. I think he's missed 12 games in the past two seasons because of hamstring issues alone. So
I believe it was 6 apiece, right? Like literally 6 games each year.
Hopefully. But he also was like the number one run stopping linebacker in the league last year when he played. So just huge, huge addition for us. Now to have him, someone who's fast, can cover the pass, can not scared for contact, cover the run, get in there and do the dirty work. You know, we got two people like him. To have him on the other side of Jerome Baker potentially out there is, or even if they decide to switch those two out, it's just a really good look for us. It's the main reason that our linebacker room is no more an issue is that signing.
Yep.
I'll give that a 9.
I'll go a little bit lower. I'll go, see, but I can't.
Yeah, you can't. That's one of our biggest things.
Yeah. I'll give it a 9. The 6 games suck, but I say that. But Teron is going to basically miss at least 4. I know that for a fact. And he was an A-plus signing just because when he does play, he's as good as they get. So David Long, when he plays, he's as good as they get. And we got him for a Dell. He's going to jump right in and make Jerome's life way easier and make Jerome a better player. He's going to help the pass rush get there a little bit faster. And he's going to make everyone better, even if he's out. So we'll have Duke stepping in. Eventually it'll be Channing, hopefully. But for right now, I like it. I'll give it a 9 as well.
Yeah, big, big move.
Necessary. Sure. Very necessary. Again, we're trying to build a championship team. We're done talking about, like, just beat Buffalo and just beat Baltimore. Like, no, we beat them now. We'll continue to beat them. Now it's win the division, make the playoffs, make a championship run. Like, do it.
Totally agree. And they know it, too. The players know the deal, too. But
it's all there. You got the
last
pieces.
Two moves. Re-signing unrestricted free agent Raheem Mostert. I kind of knew that this was going to happen no matter what.
Yep.
Especially after last season. I mean, how could you not? He's the main reason that I am comfortable with our running back room. Everyone that we talk about is like, okay, well, barring injury, yeah, that goes without saying. You know, but if he does what he did last year, or even a little bit more comfortable in the system now, or comfortable with his teammates, more comfortable with the starting offensive line. God forbid the starting offensive line takes a leap here. Raheem Mostert was pushing for 1,000 yards, averaging 5 yards a carry pretty much.
Right.
I wanted him, what did I say in the podcast before the Bills game, the Bills playoff game? I said, hey man, this is a guy who's played in playoff games before and carried the game on the ground and turned it to another level when they played in the playoff game. If we can get that version of Raheem Mostert and he can turn it up in the playoff game, we have a chance. I wish I could go back and clip it. I said something along those lines. And God willing, did this man do exactly that. He puts on a highlight reel, probably one of the top run highlights of the year in that game. Absolutely. And just was unstoppable. Give it a 10. 100% 10. For the cheapest deal ever. I mean, just money to talent value here is insane.
Yeah, and again, 2-year contract worth $5.6 million and only 1.165 in base salary, $900K is guaranteed for RB1, who basically put up 1,000 last year on very limited touches. He's one of the most efficient running backs in the last, statistically, like since he's gotten into the league, he's one of the most efficient.
Again, especially this last season too. If you look at those little graphs of like the EPA rushing yards over expected and like, you know, the most efficient runners in the red zone, most efficient runners over 5 yards, yards after contact, like he's in the top right on all of these graphs. Everything that you could point at statistically says that this guy is good. So,
yep. And so 290K and per game roster bonuses, which times 17 games is 4.9 mil of his contract. So he needs to play the same way that Jeff Wilson needs to play.
Yeah.
If he doesn't play, he's screwed. He doesn't get paid. Like,
yeah,
you're only going to get game checks and like 100K in workout bonuses. That's not enough money, brother. So you need to stay on the field. That's a very Dolphins friendly deal. And how much would Dalvin cost us if we would have paid for him? Like, oof,
I mean,
14 million?
It could happen still, but
okay.
Yeah.
So what do you think we're offering? 10? And he's just not trying to take it?
I think we're offering less than 10 for 2 years, to be honest. Oof. I think we're offering him like, I think the rumor was 8 million, 4 million a year, I think.
Ooh.
But I mean, 4 million a year with no state tax, you know, other people have to pay you like 12 million a year or something like that to even come close. Maybe it was 8. I don't know. Four seems pretty low.
Yeah. Either way though, like
It's smart to like paying Dalvin Cook in the state of the team right now. It's like walking into a candy store and just grabbing something. You know, you had dessert. You went out to eat and had dessert, and then you still grabbed the candy off the candy aisle.
Yeah, you don't need it. Not right now, at least.
Maybe
midseason. Maybe some funky stuff happens. You never know. Maybe we're not feeling
I would
the vibes.
Love it.
Offense needs a spark. Okay, spend the money. But right now, pay Christian Wilkins. We don't need to do anything else.
I think I'd rather trade draft assets if you really wanted to get a star running back and just go get Josh Jacobs. You know, try to make a play for Jonathan Taylor. I'm just saying, if you really wanted to like keep the cap where it is, kind of thing, and not worry about paying him till next year, or you know, you'd be able to do that. You can't exactly do that with Dalvin. Maybe you could structure the contract where you give him like $4 million this year and like $12 million next year, but you can't. Because you have so many hard cap hits with all the other all-star like Tyreek Hill and everybody else. Plus, if you're going to pay Tua and
Waddle's coming,
Waddle's coming, Javon Holland's coming, Brandon Jones is coming,
Christian Wilkins
hasn't been done yet, Jalen Phillips is coming. Like it's about to come heavy on us. So
we gotta go.
Pause.
Yeah.
Did you rate the Raheem Mostert? What'd you give it?
Yeah, I have to give that a 9.5.
Okay. Number one move that I would say would obviously be
this is a standard
cornerback Jalen Ramsey for a 3rd-round pick and Hunter Long, who at the time I said, Hunter Long. Who cares about Hunter Long at all? And this, you know, get him the hell out of here. I'll go pack his for you right now. But now I kind of wish we had just about anybody in the locker room that plays the position of tight end, but
yeah,
it was definitely worth.
Hunter don't look too bad right now, huh?
No, not at all. You're 100% right about that. Not at all.
And again,
but Jalen Ramsey is worth it. But like every other player that we've talked about, there's the, barring injury. And during the recording of this podcast, we are already past the point in which Jalen Ramsey has torn his meniscus. The grade of the move is a 10. Should be a 10 for both of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, regardless of the injury, but
regardless, he's
a guy who has not been injured really very often in his career. Tore his ACL or tore his meniscus first day of training camp. So, you know, it just goes to show you, man, it's pretty sporadic and random. You know, everybody looks for, you know, some sort of pattern when it comes to players, but dude, it's just a full contact sport, you know, with human bodies. So
it's football, man, it happens. There's nothing you can do about it. It's going to happen. You just try your best to plan for it and take care of it when it happens and make sure you're doing what you got to do. And a guy like that's already doing what he's got to do. He's doing his trainings. He's at every practice. He's helping people. He's talking with coaches. Like, he's heavily involved. And a guy like that is just another coach. Similar to how I feel about David Long. And also, we saw it with Teron Armstead. We were calling it out all last season, even when we signed him. A guy like that is going to coach up all these young developmental pieces faster than the coaches alone.
It's what his cap hit is? Life easy. This
for
year?
Jalen?
No. Jalen Ramsey. Sorry, we have so many Jalens.
Yeah, you're right. How much?
$2.9 million.
That's cheating. And we got him for a third, and RIP the big homie, Big Hunter.
I mean, we're stuck with him for sure for at least the next year. 2024, he definitely has to stay on the Dolphins.
Yep.
Especially but if after we start that. Winning. After that, your dead cap's only $5 million, so you could get off of him. So he's here for this year and next year, guaranteed pretty much, and then there's wiggle room after that.
If we got to blow it up, which I'm assuming we don't
Well, not
really
even
have
blow
to.
It up.
We're not going to have to.
You know, we might not. He'll be 32 years old at that point, and he plays corner, which they naturally regress with age. And we're just straight drafting all these young guys to try and come in and learn from some of the two of the best corners in the game, and Xavier Howard and Jalen Ramsey, and just hope that guys like Cam Smith, Kader Kohou, and whoever else we draft, you know we're drafting another corner next year, so hopefully they take over. But what an offseason it's been, huh?
Oh, I'm it was a peaceful one compared to last year. I mean, you know, the Ramsey thing was a lot of excitement, and it got a lot of haters woken up and poking at us, and it got a lot of actual people that watch ball fired up about us a little bit more than they already were. And I've noticed, and I know you kept a lot of receipts. I still have several on my phone from people just dropping random things on me last preseason.
Oh, yeah.
About, you know, the good old-fashioned meme. Oh, Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill are the Lamborghinis in the crappy house, and it's like the Dolphins offense with Tua quarterback. Like, oh, okay. That's what y'all really thought. And I was we were trying to tell y'all.
Oh, he's going to go from Pat Mahomes to Tua. His career's ruined. That's weird. He had a career year.
Best season he's ever had. Isn't that nuts? And he would have done better with four more games with him. But either which way, this was a nice preseason. And it's funny looking at a lot of these like websites, and even on, what is this? Our Lads. I don't know what website this is. It's using our depth chart though. Team needs running back, defensive line, tight end. They legitimately believe running back is a bigger need than tight end. Tight end is clearly our biggest glaring weakness, and if that's the biggest glaring weakness on the team, you probably have a pretty good team. And I'm with that. I don't think running back is a weakness. I think it's a lot more solid than people give us credit for, which is fine. We were a winning team last year with these guys. We were a winning team a year before that with them. So they know how to win games, and that's all that matters. I don't care if they all put up 1,500 all-purpose yards and 20 PPR points per game and all that crap, bro. Like, there's other guys that do that. That's not what this system's for. I'm pumped, bro. We're here. We'll try to get this one out, like, before. When's the preseason game? Friday?
First one is... No, I think it's the following Friday, right?
Let me check.
First one is August 10th, so yeah. You're right. August 11th is Friday for us. So, oh, wait, that's the Falcons game.
Yeah, so we got joint
They're doing
practices.
A joint practice, what, tomorrow and Wednesday, and then they play on Friday.
Cool. So then the homies can get on this one. Everybody will be on the joint practices together, and then, you know, maybe we'll get a little game day review. And I don't know.
I hope Xavier Howard punches Kyle Pitts when they link back up. Because I'm never going to forget us losing to them and him getting mossed by this dude.
Yeah, that was whack.
Yeah, but glad to be back. Couldn't be any happier than having Chief Sutt here with me. Make sure you follow that guy on Twitter, at Chief Sutt. Follow me on Twitter, at YFinsYY. Follow the podcast, at Day, the number one Dolphins. And then check back in with us after this preseason. Anything else, Sutt?
Let me know if we should start an Instagram or not. We just put memes and just stupid stuff on there.
Yeah, but give us feedback on that. Fins up.
Fins up, baby.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We've take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one. Yes, we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one. Miami has a Dolphin, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one. Yes, we're the Miami.